Mama!
Love, that is, you interlocked too.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, ready, Cyril.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, we're on?
Yeah.
Okay, hello and welcome to Full Reptile Radio, episode 16.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man. It's been a while.
It has
not,
been.
Not recorded for a few weeks.
No, there's been a lot happening. And obviously, you've been all over the place, busy, away, work and pleasure.
Yep.
I've been, well, I've been here.
Yeah.
I've not been away.
Enjoying the British rain.
Mate, it's fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's honestly, I put the big. We've got one of them massive paddling pools, you know, one of the big hexagonal. I think it's like 15 foot. So it's wicked. Don't get me wrong, because obviously a normal paddling pool is a bit poo because it's like really shallow and shit. Yeah. So we've got the really big one and we sit on the yard and it's all good. But then because the weather's been like tropical, the water, it gets quite warm. And then what you'll find is if you don't go in it for a couple of days, I mean, we're still treating it with chemicals and chlorine and all the rest of it, but then mosquitoes lay eggs in it.
Right.
So
yeah.
Where you put a cover over the top, if it rains, the warm rain sits on the cover. And then if you don't know beforehand and you're trying to lift the cover off and all the water sips into the pool, there's these little wiggly mozzie eggs or these mozzie little babies. And obviously you don't want to be swallowing them or anywhere near them. So we have to empty the pool, which is, I've got a wicked pump. It's like a submersible pump. That's like half a bucket. You chuck it in and it just sucks the water out and chucks it down the drain.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem. But it's the bottom inch that it can't get.
And that's where they like go.
Well, it's not even the mozzies at that point, because obviously you're going to wash it and clean it. But it's trying to move like an inch on a 15 foot area. I'm not good at maths, so fuck knows. But you look at it, you're like, I can lift that. You can't.
Yeah.
And even if you do, you just see the frame of the pool just go, like, I've done it before. The first time we ever had it, bought it from Argos. And basically, I just lifted it up and bent like three of the legs. And so I had to put it back in the box and I rang Argos. I went, I am fuming. And they went, what's wrong? I said, I've taken this out of the box and it's all bent. And they went, we're ever so sorry, bring it back. And I was like, no problem. So yeah, that's I'll deny any of that if anyone ever comes knocking on the door. But that was what happened before. So now I have to sit there with like a dustpan because it's flat and just flirt it over the top. And it's honestly, and the kids are like, when is it going to be ready again? And it like to fill it, it takes fucking hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah.
How was New York and how was weather there?
Yeah, so I was in Long Island for a wedding a couple of weeks ago and it was really nice. Yeah, the weather was great. It was really hot because I keep seeing all those like recorded hottest day of the year, week of the year, like recently in loads of places.
Yeah.
But like anywhere but here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super nice there. It's kind of like wine country in Long Island. So there's loads of vineyards and a lot of beaches and cool. It was really hot, nice. Yeah, great weather.
Nothing like New York then?
Why was it shit there?
Oh, no, no, I mean,
no,
as
no,
in
like, yeah, no, it's like it's off the coast of New York, Long Island. So it's like an island that goes out off the coast.
For a long way.
Yeah. It's nice. You know, like the Hamptons?
Yeah, yeah.
I
know it's completely different, but it's just one of them where it's like when we're in Bangkok, you travel like 10 minutes one way and you're just in absolute like jungle. And it's really hard to comprehend that you've got like all these massive built up insane buildings.
Yeah.
And then it's just.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, yeah, no, it's like countryside, New York.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's super nice. I went for a wedding. So I was there for only about 4 days and I had really bad jet lag. I've never had jet lag.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Or I don't know whether it was probably because we were at a wedding and we were drinking quite a lot, but felt awful when I got back.
From the wedding?
Yeah, yeah. And just in general, I don't know whether the time, because it's only 5 hours difference from.
Yeah, I think so.
Like New York to UK time. But I was knackered for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And jet lag's horrible. You know, when you just feel like you're just don't know where you are, don't know what time it is kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like you've lost all motivation and you've become depressed. Yeah. I know what you mean. We had it when we came back and you saw, not like, it's like you do that grown-up thing where you walk in a room, you go, well, I've walked in here, but for everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we sat on the sofa for like 2 days afterwards, just monging out because it was just,
I wasn't knackered. I just wasn't firing when we got back. Like Stacey would shout me and go, what's this? And I'd come into the kitchen and we've got a downstairs toilet and there was like a bottle of milk in there. And I go, what? And she's like, why is that there? And I couldn't even register that it's a problem. I'm like, it's in the fridge. And she's like, it's there.
Yeah.
This isn't the fridge. Yeah. This is the toilet. I'm like, oh yeah. And it's like a weird fever dream. Like you're kind of watching yourself from the I don't know. I've never had jet lag.
We had a night flight as well, which, I mean, obviously you can sleep on the plane, so you can't, it's kind of like you go into bed, but obviously you can't really sleep that well on a plane.
No.
And so I was pretty tired. And then when we got back after those 2 days of rest, I had the Four Nations tournament in Wales.
Of course.
Yeah, that was great. Team England did really well. Well, everyone did really well. Some really good like talent on show as well, like from some of the young fighters. It was a great event. Really good. PFL were there as well. Like Dan was kind of scouting some young talent to, well, essentially sign them to the PFL and fight on the Dublin card, I think, in December. Nice.
The thing is, it's kind of the perfect storm, isn't it? Because obviously you've got the Four Nations as itself, but then you can be sort of around all of it.
Yeah.
And especially when there's other people there that you trust, because being a matchmaker, I can't imagine, is the easiest thing when you're trying to watch three or four things going off at once.
For sure.
But obviously, when he's got people that he can trust there as well, at least he's having a look through it and he's getting a lot of, he's kind of doing like 6 months worth of recce in 3 days, which I imagine is exhausting.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was speaking to Paul Reed, which obviously, if you don't know, he's really heavily involved in Emma.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a great job.
He's essentially the engine. Yeah. And he's the one. So basically we made some shirts for him. We did the Four Nations artwork and logo, which for me to see it as the artist, it was kind of nice to see. So it was cool. The footage was good. Obviously there was a lot of little just recaps if you've not seen it or just the...
Yeah. I'm making like a short edit at the moment of the event. So anyone who missed it, catch that.
And oh, wicked.
It was live streamed as well on Live MMA.
Yeah.
So if anyone watched it, there was a lot of really good fights on show. Like the heavyweight fight on the last day was, wicked.
Yeah, I watched
both
some
swinging.
Of that.
Yeah,
looked really good.
It was great. Jack Henshaw won gold from HW1 as well.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Really good event.
I mean, I think one of the nicest things with obviously the expansion of MMA is because when you watch early events, there's normally a little bit of footage from people with their early pro career. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of amateur. There wasn't really an area to perform in that when it was when you were coming up through the amateurs.
Yeah, it's not like boxing, you know, where because obviously amateur boxing is like massive. You know, people have like 30 odd fights before they turn
pro.
And you don't really have that in MMA, do you?
No.
It's a good platform to kind of...
Well, the nice thing is knowing, like, even if you use Jack as an example from HW1, that if he makes it to Bellator, UFC, PFL, whichever one it is, there's always going to be footage throughout the time. Like, obviously, we've seen Connor when he's done Cage Warriors and stuff, but that was pro.
Yeah.
So when you've got all of this footage, it just makes it so, like, you almost know the people before they step in the cage, you know, and you can see their fighting style and their history and how they've changed, like, even body shapes and movement and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a wicked platform.
Yeah.
And obviously the PFL getting behind it and putting some money into it and sponsoring it, I think it helps everyone move forward. It helps everyone grow. So, yeah, from what I saw, it looked really good. It looked like a great event. And obviously, like I say, speaking to Paul, I know that he was exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone was that was involved, but I mainly spoke to Paul. So yeah, it looked good. I'm looking forward to watching
it. Yeah, it ran really well. Like I think there was over 80 fights.
Wow.
On one day, on the Saturday, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a lot of bouts anyway. There was always something going on because there was two cages. One's with like this seniors and then one for the youths as well.
Okay.
So there was fights going on all day. It was great. Really well-run event. And yeah, look forward to the one next year as well.
Yeah, nice, man. Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's good. So then what else? Did you catch any of the fights? Have you caught up to date? Or I know with you traveling and stuff.
Yeah, with traveling and that, I'm not really caught up. I did watch the Sean Strickland fight. I caught UFC 290 as well.
Okay. Did you watch Holly Holm this weekend? Just gone?
No, I haven't yet. Okay. I know Buena Silva won by, was it?
Standing guillotine.
Das? Oh.
Mate, it was...
Standing guillotine.
Yeah, tight.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've always had a lot of time for Holly. She's, having two girls.
Mm.
And at one point, Moo was so into Ronda just because she was this dominant champ and she was blonde and my daughter's blonde. So she was like, yeah, I want to be Ronda Rousey. And then when she saw Holly come on the scene, it wasn't even the Holly and Ronda fight. It was just the fact that she was such a good striker that she got really into it. So when we were in Vegas, I managed to grab 10 minutes with her and I sat down and spoke to her for a bit and she was really engaging. It was nice. And so seeing her career sort of rock a little bit and just watching what she's done, I thought, I was really hoping for her that this is going to be a big step because I think she was ranked 2 or 3 and Buena Silva was at 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a gift almost from the veterans to give the up and comers that sort of fight because not everyone at 2 or 3 would take a fight against the 10th ranked. So when she seemed really at peace and comfortable and I was like, Holly's back.
Mm.
We're going to see her. And she looked good, but I think there's a lot of focus on the grappling and there's such a big difference with learning grappling when you're older to what has been inherently burnt into you from being a child someone that's done it from no age, so young that everything is second nature. And so Holly was really pushing like a grapple heavy sort of approach and she got caught and you could see how disappointed she was because she knows how crisp her striking is. So from the whole card, I mean, it was all right. I mean, Jack Della Maddalena had a short notice fight against Basil.
I saw the, because people were a bit, I haven't watched the fight, but I saw that people were saying it could have gone the other way.
Without a doubt, yeah. And I mean, JDM was pretty much my one to watch, in my opinion. I mean, he's just a very stereotypical Aussie, like they've found him in the outback on a farm.
He was meant to be on... UFC 290 as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if he'd had a bit of the wind taken out of his sails for that because obviously making weight and traveling and all the rest of it. He didn't seem himself, but Basil is well known within the MMA community and has trained with a lot of guys and is really, really good, especially on the ground. Mm. And he had a really good showing. He had an amazing showing. But the decision went JDM's way and it could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Basil did himself any disservice. He looked legit. But I can't remember a lot from the card. There was a few decent scraps, but obviously we had 290 the week before.
Yeah, that was great. I did watch pretty much all the fights for that one.
Mate, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was what stood out for you on 290?
The Moreno Pantoja fight was just probably the highlight, really.
Yeah.
It was a great scrap.
I was kind of gutted for Moreno.
Yeah, I was. I'm a big fan of Moreno. I'm a big fan of both guys. Just that division in general, the flyweight division is really, really good division. Probably because they're like similar to like my size.
Yeah, well, you can relate. And you know, how fast and how impressive they are to be at that sort of shape and size.
Exactly, yeah.
When we're not.
But, it's such a good fight. I could have watched like another 5 rounds
easy.
Of that, to be honest.
I think,
I don't know if Moreno's going to get like a straight-away rematch.
It didn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they kind of... It's annoying because obviously Moreno's great and stuff and I'm sure he'll work his way back up to the top. But I suppose because he's been, you know, the flyweight division has been just him and Figueiredo and for the past like few years... And I think maybe they're trying to like refresh the division a bit, give some other people a chance to come up.
But I get that. But the problem was, it wasn't like it was a such a solid, clear decision. Like, don't get me wrong,
The Pantoja Moreno?
Yeah, when you break it down over rounds, yes. Mm. The domination was obviously, there was a bit more ground control by Pantoja, which I get. But at the same time, he didn't finish him and Moreno looked really strong on stand-up. So it was kind of close. And in my opinion, it was more a case that warranted probably an immediate rematch or that would keep everyone's interest. Because the worst thing is obviously they've fought times before and it's never gone Moreno's way.
Mm.
But Moreno didn't necessarily look outclassed as he has in the past, whereas this time he looked really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And Pantoja looked really tired.
Yeah.
And so, like, I suppose when you go on the very simple way of how many rounds has he won, it's more difficult to justify the rounds for Moreno because he was dominated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like when Cruz fought Faber back in the day in the UFC the first time, and Cruz, he was just busier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like you watch it, you think, well, Faber's still, he's had a big impact on this fight.
Mm.
But obviously there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. So I was kind of gutted for him, but Pantoja looked legit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think he's going to be a scary person. Yeah.
I hope they do rematch it because I'd love to watch that fight again for sure.
Yeah, man. You could watch it all day. It'd be so good.
But that fight, I think, was like my standout highlight from the card. I mean, obviously Volkanovski looked great. Again,
he's insane, mate. You know when you see someone that's obviously so much smaller,
yeah,
and like his keys to victory always depend on him having such a good game plan and having to sort of wade through so much shit to even impose his game.
Mm.
So it's not like he can choose to stand back and counter strike or to do like every element. He's like a 25% harder element than anyone because he's so short and he's stocky. Like when he's fighting someone like Chad Mendes, that was two like rock'em sock'ems.
Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah,
but at the weekend, man, he just like to get through it and win in the way that he did.
Mm.
He's just.
I think that's what it is. I think he's such a good like. He's good at having such, like you said, such a good game plan going into it. Like just tactically, he's like brilliant. Like he can find ways to pretty much beat anyone. And obviously he didn't do that against Makhachev, but I just feel like everyone he's fought, he's just broke them down. Like found out their weaknesses.
But even with Makhachev,
he probably could have won that fight.
And I don't disagree because it was one of them where Makhachev has been finishing so many people and then like Volk came along and just, he put it on him.
Yeah.
But the height difference still wasn't as bad as what it was at the weekend. Mm. And especially with how much of a dynamic striker, it's beyond impressive. And he carries himself so well.
Mm-hmm. I think he's also got that like, just grit and determination as well. Like, he did get hit a few times in the Rodriguez fight, but he's just super tough as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He's just so good at breaking people down and he's just so tough to break down himself.
He just doesn't seem to have lost interest yet.
Mm.
And obviously we've seen it in the past where champs can defend or they can sort of then go a little bit more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even GSP, Anderson Silva, you go from finishers to then decisions. And I know obviously the competition gets harder and all the rest of it, but there's kind of an element of how hungry they are still when they're champs.
Yeah.
And it was, mate, Volk's just a next level. Like, as an ambassador of the sport and as a role model and all the rest of it, he's above and beyond perfect because he just seems like...
super professional as well.
Yeah,
like he's
top bloke.
Yeah, he's sick. It's hard not to like Volkanovski.
Mate, it's so... I mean, who else? Let me see who else was on there. But I mean, they definitely stole the show because he just looked so good.
Yeah, I'll bring the card up because... I figured we were going to talk about it.
Well, yeah, because then we've got the Du Plessis and Robert Whittaker situation.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about that. What was it? 290.
Mate.
Yeah, so obviously we spoke about the co-main and the main. Great fights. It was like people were messaging me during the card, just like, this is like probably the card of the year so far. And that was even before the main event. So...
Because
Dan Hooker and Bo Nickel as well, like, obviously look great. Robbie Lawler retired.
Mate, well, Robbie Lawler seemed to be like, it's like he'd said to his missus, I'm just nipping out. And she's going, we belong. Yeah. And he's like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Nico Price is he's a legit dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, Nico Price has probably grown up watching Robbie Lawler. I'm not saying he was starstruck.
30 and 16, Robbie Lawler.
Mate, well, I can honestly say he was a legit one of my favourite fighters from the minute he stepped in the cage at, I think, UFC 30, something like that.
Mm.
And there's like when he fought Tiki and he nearly punched a hole through the canvas while Tiki was already out. Then he went to Strikeforce, had an amazing couple of fights in there. And he, like, at one point he was kind of all over the place. And then when he came back and had a word with Koscheck, won the belt, he's honestly an amazing career. And would make an amazing movie as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
legend.
It was kind of sad to see him go, but at the same time, pleased for him.
Yeah, for sure. And to go out on a win as well. And recently, not many people have done that, like Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
Who else was it? I suppose Glover Teixeira. I mean, he lost losing the belt, but you know.
But it is nice.
Someone else.
Did Sam Alvey?
Was it Aldo? Maybe.
Aldo
lose his last fight. But yeah, anyway, to go out on a win and especially a knockout as well is just like typical Robbie Lawler, isn't it?
Mate, it was.
That was great.
Because Jimmy Crute retired as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not had a great run of it past.
No, he sort of slipped down the card a little bit, hasn't he? He slipped down the card and...
Yeah, he had three losses in a row. I mean against all top guys.
I'm about to say, like, current champ who's vacated his belt.
But I think, like, injury-wise as well, because he suffered that injury, didn't he, with his leg?
Yes.
I mean, he's only 27. Maybe it is due to that, I'm not sure.
Maybe this is it, yeah. Or, like, he might think he's got something else lined up.
But, yeah, I like Jimmy Crute. He was always good to watch.
Bo Nickel looked insane.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's got to get to the point where they're going to have to throw him in against, because obviously, what's he gone to, 5-0?
I think, because he's not ranked at the minute, is he? So I imagine he'll probably have another one or two fights to be in the top 15, then he will probably start getting the...
I kind of want to deep water him. Fights. I kind of want to just throw him in there now.
He's certainly got the star power.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a massive following. And he's not.
He doesn't seem arrogant, and he doesn't seem too much of a dick. Who's doing what he's doing, his fights haven't really gone anywhere near the distance.
I think he's just super professional, isn't he? I mean, he's been wrestling for years. Like, he's been at a top level, like, of sports.
Yeah.
Is he wrestling in the Olympics?
I really don't know. I just know that he looked insane.
Yeah.
And obviously his hands, saying how good he is at wrestling, his hands looked electric.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, because I think, was he always meant to be against Val Woodburn? I think he was against someone else.
Yeah,
Gore.
His fight, yeah.
Trace.
Deshaun Gore. Deshaun,
yeah. Which would have been, because he was on the Ultimate Fighter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he looked good. And I was looking forward to it to think, well, at least I know who he's against. I know the level and the caliber of the fighter he's against. That's going to be good. So when it got changed quickly, I don't know a lot about Val Woodburn.
No, but obviously I think he was unbeaten. Last minute. Yeah. And yeah, he just got pasted.
38 seconds in round one. Legit. So that, I mean, on the, I don't know if you've all seen on the Full Reptile channel, we've done the what's next on a Monday or a Tuesday, depending on what's out on there. And I think sometimes it's interesting to see what our people want to take things forward. And obviously,
I mean, I think obviously Dricus, that was pretty surprising. I mean, He's been on a really good like momentum, but I thought Rob Whittaker would have the.
I did.
I thought he was good enough to stop him.
Yeah, because Rob only seems to lose only sent to lose to Adesanya.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's like it's almost like he's kryptonite. A bit like you were saying about Frankie Edgar earlier when you got Frankie and Benson Henderson. It just seemed like it was just that brick wall.
Mm.
And I think when you look at Whittaker, it's kind of almost an easy money bet. Because he's so good everywhere that he will work it out quick and sort of take care of it. Whereas DDP, because, I mean, when I looked at him against, what's his name? Fucking hell. Who did he fight?
Darren Till.
It looked like Darren Till was winning.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the majority of Du Plessis fights, like, he's always been, I think he's just outworked people, like, yeah, massively. And he's like, hard to break down. He's quite awkward as well, like, just in his stance and, like, yeah. So I think he's quite, I can imagine he's quite a hard person to fight.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously got knockout power as well. And
mate, he's jacked.
Like, the jab on Robert Whittaker, like, I've made his eyes roll back.
Yeah,
like, he's got a lot of power. And when people are tired, he's just rains down.
But he's done that in the second.
Yeah.
So, like, it really opened my eyes. Because obviously when you're British and you're following Darren Till, you're like, this is a good one for Darren Till to get back into it. This is a nice one for him to roll back into the sort of championship picture. And then when he got beat, I was like, I didn't know if it was that he was beat or that he'd had enough. Does that make sense? And that's no disrespect to Darren Till. I haven't stood in the cage. I don't know what it feels like, but I know it's fucking exhausting. So I didn't know if, because Darren Till, he didn't seem, something changed. And he sort of, he didn't seem as fussed. And it felt like DDP then took the win.
Mm.
So I wasn't putting a lot of props on him to think, well, yeah, he's going to beat Whittaker. Because obviously we know MMA maths doesn't work. But at the same time, you still think about who he's fought in the past and all the rest of it. So it was so impressive. And then for Izzy to jump in the cage. And
yeah, what did you think about that?
I don't know. Like, it's kind of, it's just one of them. I mean, like, I thought it was strange because DDP didn't really get to have his interview, didn't get to have his moment, and didn't get to really have his chance. And I don't know if him saying he's, because obviously the whole thing is, I'm going to take the belt back to Africa, where he lives.
Yeah.
Because he's South African.
South African, yeah.
Whereas Izzy doesn't live there at the minute, but it doesn't stop him from his heritage.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I mean, South Africa's got a fucking insane history. And it's not always the best. Yeah, and course. I'm not saying that DDP is like a closet racist, because I don't think he is. And you're treading in real, real fucking dodgy water when you're the wrong colour to be sort of entering that conversation in the first place and making the narrative about, I'm going to take this back to Africa. Because you're like, okay, like, what you did in the cage speaks volumes more than any sort of narrative of this shit. And
it's not a nice, like, underlining thing that's kind of promoting the fight. Do you know what I mean?
Precisely. And even at the press conference, someone's like, oh, there was racial connotations. And what do you think? And Dana's like, who? Where? What? Like he'd not seen it. And you think, you've got to address it, because
I just don't think Izzy, like, helped that situation either in that back and forth.
No, because
he's using racist slurs, really, and, like, saying it over and over again was just like,
man. I think he's really frustrated because of the African comments.
Yeah, and no, I think, I understand why he's frustrated, but I just feel...
But he's got the card to say what he wants. So to me, it was kind of, because he may have made Izzy feel uncomfortable, or he may have upset Izzy with what he'd said. Mm. So I think, because you even see it after the fact when Izzy was saying, if he wins, I'm going to do this in the cage. And it was purely out of, he wants him to make him feel uncomfortable. Like, any edge you can get in this fight game, you're going to get it. But I suppose when you look at, like, Conor talking about Habib, that was seen as like, oh, that's a bit. Whereas when Izzy did it, you're like, I understand why it happened, and I understand the angle that he was going for, but it was kind of like, I really like Izzy and I respect Izzy, and I think he's normally for the people and for everyone. Mm-hmm. But because Africa was bought into it and DDP looks more like us, it was a really, I don't know, it just seemed quite sloppy and quite ugly. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I can never tell someone from Africa or a black person that they can't use that word, because then that's completely,
yeah, of course, that's it. Yeah.
But to do it and make him feel uncomfortable to the point where he didn't even kind of get his moment, it felt a little bit rubbish. But the whole thing is, that's why Dana kind of ignored it, was because this is going to sell fucking tickets, man. And you will have a lot of people that are wanting to follow DDP because of that, and you got people that are backing Izzy for the other reason. But it it just kind of felt like we've never had that in the cage before. It's never really been promoted or sort of brought up.
I don't think that they won't promote it that way, but because of what's already happened before the fight, and like, you know, they've had a rivalry for like a couple of months before this fight. So it's always going to be known as like, there's always those connotations like underlining the fight, and it's not a nice thing to have.
No.
But I
personally think
people just shouldn't make stupid comments.
Yeah, it was shit. But I think from speaking to Izzy the short time that I have, and to see his career and see who he is as a person, or perceive how he is from what we get to see, he's not really, he's never come across to me as that kind of a petty or a petulant or like that kind of person. So it was more of a surprise at the time when I watched it, because I was like, fucking hell, man, it's kind of not over the top, but it's intense. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And then when I saw him say he was going to do it, I could only put it down to the fact that he took way more offense to what DDP was saying beforehand, when I think DDP was almost trying to hyper fight or to try and sort of like have a bit of a narrative. I don't think it was an intentional dig. I mean, it could have been, but it's like, if you've ever seen when Matt Hughes was fighting, I think he fought BJ Penn or someone, or it was Matt Serra or whoever it was, and GSP got in the cage, and Matt Hughes' dad stood there, and his brother, and all these other people, and Matt Hughes is this legend in the sport, and GSP famously said, "I am not impressed by your performance." And it was only, and literally you could see his fucking heart sank, because his dad got mad and Matt Hughes pushed him, and it was like, that was almost worse than what this was, because he was being disrespectful to this fucking legend.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, I'm definitely like, you know, Izzy, I think, has certainly got like reasons to be annoyed for sure about what like DDP said.
Yeah, yeah.
And knowing, you know, yeah.
I think it cut him deeper than what he realised, and that's why the passion and the fire came out.
I just
out.
Hope it doesn't let him, you know, allow him to become, like it become a distraction in the fight, because I think Adesanya's going to like whip his ass.
Yeah, I think the narrative pretty much falls into line of, all right, well, you disrespected me and my nation and all the rest of it and my heritage. And I think when you put it into like good guys versus bad guys, then Izzy's pretty much was in the good guy position. And some people, because I read that a lot of people are like, oh, well, I didn't really like that. My opinion's gone down. And the problem is regardless of what anyone's ever said, it's always through passion and feelings. And obviously, if you come out and said the wrong thing, or you've done it slightly out of character, it's purely through passion, I think. And I think he just wanted to prove a point that there's a difference between them. And like to say to someone, because I mean, someone could be living here, and it doesn't mean that you're English now. You've still got your heritage, and you can be proud of that heritage, or defensive. So, it was strange. It was strange. I've been watching the sport for such a long time that I've never really sort of had before. So it was kind of a weird one, and especially being a white person, it's just even more difficult, because we have got no place to even have an opinion or know anything about it, because we're privileged to fuck, which is kind of the worst thing, and that's what puts DDP in that sort of position, which is, it is an awkward thing. I just, the whole thing of it was, I felt that DDP had a performance of his life.
Yeah.
He'd probably taken out Whittaker as good as, if not better than Izzy.
Yeah, he's beat a former champion. I mean, yeah, we can't take credit away from, you know, the performance.
Well, course. Even him and Rogan sort of stood there, because
Rogan was
the last person that's been allowed to get in on this conversation when he's been giving his fucking apologies. And they've just sort of stood there like, DDP.
Yeah, like it was super. I was really, really shocked. Like when I checked the results, I was super, because I obviously looked at the results.
Of course you did.
I
watched it, not live, but I watched it all without knowing.
Yeah.
And ultimately for me, it's about the narrative of there's going to be a fight. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I ignore the bits that people get hung up on, because for me, I'm like, well, these two motherfuckers are now chomping.
Yeah.
And I just want to see good fights. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was interesting, but it was looks like it's going to be a good scrap. Yeah, and especially now he's beat Whittaker, because that now goes from, like, beforehand, if you'd have said to me, is he DDP? I'd have gone, is he all day?
Mm.
And I'm still is he all day. But if he can catch him with that jab.
Yeah, we've seen, obviously, you know, Izzy's lost the belt recently and got it back, yeah, of course. But, you know, he has shown chinks in his armour. If you can get hit, sure.
Yeah, for real, man.
So, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup. And as I said, like, Dricus is super, like, awkward. I can imagine that he's quite hard to read, just as a, you know, he's got awkward movement.
Yeah.
And I think with kind of negated Whittaker's, like, kind of bouncy, like, in and out sort of thing.
But I think the percentage of will DDP do it in my head now has gone up slightly.
Yeah.
It's still probably easy to the win.
Yeah.
But there's more of a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? But, and also on the card, just before we leave 290, did you see Hooker and how many things he broke?
Oh, yeah. Dude. Bah, that was a great fight. It's funny because, like, when I saw the picture of Dan Hooker with his hand raised, before I actually watched the fight, and he was all battered.
Smashed to pieces.
Jalen Turner looked fairly, like, fresh.
Yeah.
And but then when you watch the fight, it's totally, like, opposite to that. You know what I mean? Like, Dan Hooker put in a really good performance and deservedly won. But
close, though, again.
Yeah, of course. It was very close. But, you know, when I watched the fight, I definitely thought Dan Hooker had won. It's just he looked more, like, battered.
Mate, it was just the shots he was taking, but then the combos he was landing. So he was taking a big shot, but then landing a combo. And I think, I mean, with his hair being blonde and then the blood just running through it, it took me back to, like, BJ Penn licking the blood off his gloves. Yeah. Like, really full on, this is cage fighting, as far as, like, nothing slowing down. The fact that there's a bit of blood. Yeah, he looked fucking legit. And obviously, did he break his jaw?
He broke his, like, cheekbone, I think.
Fuck me, man. Just imagine.
And then, yeah, he obviously broke his arm.
Was but it kept throwing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I fell off the racking at work the other day, right? I was doing some orders, and because I still think I'm fucking 15, I just climbed the racking. We're on 39.
Yeah, cool.
I just climbed the racking, grabbed the orders, saw it out. And I'm also known for never tying my shoelaces.
Right.
They've got knots in them because I just slip
them on. Yeah, I noticed that today, actually, when you're walking upstairs.
I never tie my shoelaces because they're not long enough for me to trip over, and I've always got highs on, so they're Converse high, they're Vans high, they're my Jordans, my Tims, whatever they are, they just slip on. And it wasn't even the lace, but it's because they were kind of loose, my foot rolled to the right. So then, we've all done this, you know, you've done it where you sort of slip onto the outside of your foot, just done it then, fucking it. And I fell backwards and landed like this on the floor, and fuck me, it went crack. And I don't think it's broken. I've got full movement and everything. Mm. It just fucking really hurts. And I was thinking to myself then, like, and I started punching my hand to see, like, wonder what it'd feel like. And I punched my hand once. And I was like, I would never throw that again.
Yeah.
And it's bruised. It's not even showing a bruise. It's not broken. It's not fractured.
Mm.
But the amount of fighters that carry on throwing shit, and I'm expecting them to, as a fan, I'm like, come on. It might be broken, but you could still win.
Like, you've got the adrenaline, though. Imagine, like, pumping through your body. So it's a little bit, the pain's probably dampened. But yeah. It's great. Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean.
And you never really hear screams of pain in a cage, do you?
No.
It's like when I fell, I landed, I went, fuck's sake, you fuck stick. And just the whole Tourette's came out.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in the office next door, Ross, and he was like, all right, Doc. I was like, no. Just falling off the fucking racking. And he's like laughing because obviously he knows that I'm not in any trouble. But the amount of times you see people like fully hoofed in the balls or fucking elbow or whatever, and they never go, ooh.
Marvin Vettori.
Maybe. Yeah. And there was the woman last week, I can't remember her name, but she hyperextended her elbow and it popped out. And like she literally sat there going, But from all the fights I've watched, there's not really a lot of screaming.
Yeah, only when, like, I've seen, like, leg snaps. Like, I always remember one that, like, haunts me.
Go on.
It's like when Tom Aspinall had his first fight in Cage Warriors.
Okay.
Me and Mystery covered it, and it was against Sofiane Boukachou.
Yeah.
And Boukachou threw a leg kick. Aspinall checked it and he snapped his leg.
Yeah.
And he was just on the floor like, ah. Oh,
really?
Like proper lungs.
I think I remember you coming back from that event and you almost looked like a damp refugee. You're like, I've seen things, man.
That was one of my first MMA events that I covered.
And that was
like Cage Warriors 101 or something, or 103.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But yeah, it might be that I'm just a massive pussy, but honestly, my respect is always so high for fighters. But when I realize that people are still throwing broken things, it's like,
yeah.
And I don't know what it is about when you hurt yourself that you just keep pressing it. I press it till it,
yeah.
I like how it feels. if I was hooking, I broke my cheekbone, but like, I wonder if it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Now I wonder if it's still there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's so impressive. And obviously, it keeps him up the ranks.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They were closely ranked, but and Jalen Turner, he was legit. He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't completely sure, out of there, but
still a great prospect in that division.
Yeah, and I just think Hooker had that gas tank and kind of, you know, when you've hit someone so many times and they're still there, you've broke their orbital, you've broke their arm. Yeah, but for Jalen Turner, is that anyone else?
Yeah,
anyone else maybe would have been down and out. And so, yeah, impressive, man. It was good. Now we've got, is it Tapioro that's calling out Volk?
Yeah, but of course, today, well, last night, I think Makhachev Oliveira 2 got announced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Mate, that's going to be good.
UFC 294. So I know, obviously, Volk was calling for the rematch with Islam.
Yeah.
So I imagine. Maybe Volkanovski will defend his featherweight belt again.
Yeah.
Probably against Topuria.
Yeah, because I can't think of...
Yeah,
because Topuria's got a good shout for it after doing Josh.
Because Makhachev Oliveira 2 will be in October.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really, if Volk wants to fight again before the end of the year, but he is injured, isn't he?
So, yeah, but who do you see... Who would you rather see Volk against? Makhachev, so he could get that win back if he wins, or Oliveira if he wins the belt back off Makhachev? Who would you rather see? Because I know that you're a big fan of Oliveira.
Well, because I want Oliveira to be Makhachev for sure. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, the thing is, the Dariush fight, obviously Oliveira looked like loads better.
Yeah,
but it's a different level. Yeah, I don't know if it's much to go off really in terms of how he's going to perform against Makhachev again. It's different.
I think what I like about Oliveira is that he's still in Brazil. And he's surrounded by savages. Yeah. And obviously, if it's wrestling and grappling, striking's legit.
Yeah, I think he's got a huge chance, of course, of winning. But yeah, if I had to pick the next opponent for Volk, I'd like to see Oliveira Volkanovski.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be good, man. And it'd be a bit different as well, because then even if win or lose, you can still see Makhachev and have another go.
Yeah,
because obviously
exactly,
he's getting a bit older as well, so like dropping the weight is... Mm-hmm. To go up is the next natural progression, I suppose, isn't it?
The thing is with Makhachev, like, I don't know, because obviously he's like a protege of Habib, but Habib had so much, in my opinion anyway, I just think people were more drawn to Khabib. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, like, I think he was a lot more of a fan favourite than Makhachev is. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but...
I think maybe Conor shone such a light on Habib. And as much as there was probably 80% of it was negative sort of attack, with that, you're always going to get your defenders and your supporters. So because the narrative was pretty much around Conor, will he do this, will he do that? And obviously Khabib was the big, like, stopping force that was in the way. I mean, because Habib fought a number of times before that and was vocal and was talking to Dana and Joe while he's beating the shit out of people. So he was this... anomaly that was such a good, dominant wrestler, which Makhachev is very similar to, that you kind of, once you've had one, and Habib obviously had the narrative with his dad and obviously the whole Russian thing and with Conor and all the rest of it, that people, they want to see exciting fights. And I don't think Makhachev's got the same sort of draw.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it is the star power that obviously him and Conor sort of produced together.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Khabib still had to perform. He still had to do it. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting. I'd watch either of them. I'm not fussed. But the whole 290 was such a high.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, like I said, people were messaging me saying that it was like one of the best cards of the year for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, so next we've got obviously, well, this weekend, what do you want to talk about first? Because we've got obviously...
You got 47 minutes, what you're saying. You got we're just, basically, you might have noticed that we're slightly moody within our appearance and slightly darker than normal. And that's because we haven't got lights, because one of us forgot them. It could be me, it could be Jamie. That's not relevant. We've also got a different recording system. And we're on different batteries. So if you hear a time check at any point, it's purely because I may have forgotten something or Jamie may have forgotten something. So we've got UFC London to talk about, UFC 291, and also but Tyson Fury and
recording next week as well, we could touch on UFC 291.
Okay, so we've got London this week then, right?
Yeah, so this week we are going to talk about UFC London and just have a look at that card. And of course, we're going to... Well, we'll talk about this first, maybe, because this was announced probably about a week ago now, almost. The Ngannou Fury boxing match.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of this happening for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, you're not?
Not
into it.
Well, I watch it, and I kind of. I'm really pleased for Ngannou because I know it's a massive payday.
Yeah, I think that's more than... I just think it's pretty badass.
I like the circus. I do like the circus. I like the pantomime of it all. And like, you know, with Conor Mayweather, you kind of know what's going to happen, but there's always the chance, and it's the little chance. And I think because they're heavyweights and they're slightly slower... And Ngannou's power is fucking insane. It's one of them. But like, if we... Who was it that dropped Fury?
Deontay Wilder.
He doesn't punch softly. He is a pro boxer. He's got pro boxing experience. Mm.
Some say he's probably a harder hitter than Ngannou.
Okay. And he knows what the fuck he's doing in a boxing ring. Nothing against Ngannou in the slightest. But Ngannou's been focused a lot more recently on contracts and all this other shit, not fought for a long time. Heavily focused on wrestling when it came to his last couple of fights in the UFC, because obviously he was against Stipe and all the rest of it, and he nullified that. Boxing and MMA are so different, but they're the same, that it's not real. It's scary. And I think for me, when I look at Tyson Fury, who is above and beyond one of the greatest heavyweights we've ever seen, and kind of in a surprising way, because he doesn't look...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't look like Mike Tyson. He's not shredded. He's just a tough motherfucker. Yeah. So...
Intelligent fighter.
Massively. Mm. And I kind of just... I don't know what to expect or what to think, because it's... I'm not saying it's a freak show, because it's not, but it's that kind of, oh, we'll try this. And I think ultimately I'm 99% sure that Tyson Fury will win, because fundamentally he's a boxer, a world champion, the experience. Because the thing is, as hard as Ngannou can hit, Tyson can move, and he's got great movement. And if Fury's way to win is to land a big shot, he's going to be focusing on landing a big shot. Whereas if Tyson's way to win is avoid that big shot and counter, it's not like he's not done that. So, I don't know. I've got no problem with it. They're both professionals. They're both going to get a massive payday, especially Ngannou. I think fucking props to him. The fact that he's managed to orchestrate what he has done, and he's managed to leave... Well, he's had his apron strings cut from the UFC. He's managed to leave all that, and he's had all this negative shit behind him that he's the worst thing that he could ever do. Dana obviously not chased him out, but was really gunning for Gone to beat him. For him to get and achieve to do what he wants to do is a great story, to an already amazing story. But the Tyson side of things is what scares me.
Yeah.
Because I want Ngannou to maintain that star power and that terrifying element of him for the PFL and all the rest of it, because he is he's just an anomaly within the sport. He's fucking incredible. But I don't know what it does to him if Tyson finishes him earlier, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the thing is, I don't think it's a bad move in that sense, because if he does lose, it's in boxing. It's not in MMA.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is, everyone knows, he knows that he's fighting probably one of the best boxers ever to live.
Yeah.
So it, I don't think really loses much in regards to respect or whatever as a fighter. I think he still maintains that. So I personally, I don't think he's really got anything to lose on it. And it's like, it's just one of them. It's like watching a movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. It's like watching a Rocky film. It's just these crazy matchups.
Yeah. And that's why I'm not mad with it.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of like, I'm just more worried.
Yeah, I do. I 100% think Tyson's going to win just purely. And you can't deny what's in front of you really with that. But
there is a chance.
It's just the chance.
There is a chance.
It's the occasion and it's just like the baddest man on the planet, isn't it?
Imagine he does it though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like imagine he
overeams him.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck me. That's...
Because I've watched, me and Mystery were in Extreme Couture in Vegas. Like we were back and forth from there a few times with like Mads.
Yeah.
And a couple of fighters. And Ngannou was in there a few times. And watch him train, it's like insane.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Fucking, yeah, really, really terrifying. And watching him on the pads, and I've seen a lot of like videos of him training and stuff. He's, you know, he's... It's not like he's, you know, he's got good technique. He can box. It's not,
yeah,
like he's totally,
yeah. And that's the thing. I'm not discounting him in any way because the fundamental skills are very similar. But it's the environment and it's the movement and there's like, it's like with Holly Holm and Bueno Silva at the weekend. They were talking so much about Holly Holm. Oh, she's focused on grappling. She's done this. She's done that. She's done this. Oh yeah, that's good. You can train as much as you fucking want. Mm. Bueno Silva was born with a black belt. So like the fundamentals are the core element. She caught with a standing guillotine. That's not normal. Holly Holm's a lot taller than her.
Yeah.
It's not, this isn't a normal thing. And I think the fact that Ngannou's managed to sort his PFL career and essentially the all that comes with that, that's one worry left. Not to worry about it. All he has to do is show up to the Tyson thing and he's got a massive payday. So I suppose there could be that he's got a massive weight off his shoulders. He's proved the world wrong and he's now going to go out there and he's given himself the best chance and the best shot. He's got time to train because when is it? October?
October, yeah. End of October.
Yeah. I just wouldn't like to...
I'll try and get credentials for it.
That'd be good. That'd be really good.
If anyone out there...
Yeah, sort Jamie out with credentials. Guy. Yeah, just sort him out.
Give me a shout.
Well, maybe we'll just get in touch with either Ngannou or Tyson and you can film one side. But I think I would. There isn't a person on this planet that I could put up against Tyson confidently. Like if I had to put my house on the line, I couldn't find someone to finish Tyson or beat Tyson without... I mean, I suppose the next in line would be a Ngannou or a Deontay. After seeing what he did to Deontay and how he took a punch.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Does Ngannou, if Ngannou lands the same punch that Wilder did, would it knock Tyson out?
Yeah, and they're heavier, they're bigger gloves. I just don't know if Tyson's got another Undertaker moment in him where he just sits up, but it's one of them. I mean, he's done it his whole life.
Yeah.
There's no learning what he knows.
The thing is as well, I think obviously the kind of crowds, the kind of places that Tyson Fury has fought in compared to Ngannou, the occasion might get, I mean, I don't think it will, but the occasion might overwhelm him a little bit. But I do wish it was in, imagine if it was in the O2 in London.
Oh, dude.
So people were saying that, like, it's in Saudi Arabia, isn't it? But if he was in Vegas
It never feels as good.
Mm.
You know, when it's boxing, it never feels as good like that. Like the, I don't know, I think the MMA crowds, we've got accustomed to it being quite a close environment and it feels kind of intense. You can feel that energy through the TV. And I suppose if they'd have gone, all right, we'll get Ngannou to fight this guy, I still wouldn't have been sure because they are boxers fundamentally. It's like when James Toney fought Randy. He's James Toney.
Mm.
He's a good dude. He's a fighter. And Randy just ankle picked him and choked him out. He didn't even know how to tap.
Yeah.
And you're like, Okay. And anyone before that could have gone, well, there's a chance. Well, yeah, but you're against Randy, who's going to fucking take your legs out and strangle you. So, I don't know. I think I've got nothing against Fury. I've got nothing against Ngannou. I'd like Ngannou to win just to shock the world and obviously carry his career on with this incredible story. But at the same time, I've got nothing against Fury winning because he's fundamentally a boxer and yeah. He's retired enough times to say, look, I've had enough, man. I'm done. I'm sick of getting punched. I've proved it. And I think because of how he looks and how he is, no one's always expected him to do it. And I think the fact that he's always managed to prove them wrong is beautiful. Mm. It's such a cool thing.
There's that talk, obviously, you know, with the Usyk fight, probably, well, not going to happen as well.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think boxing fans probably more favoured more to that fight, seeing that fight, you know.
Yeah.
For the undisputed, like, heavyweight champion.
Yeah, but the thing is with Tyson, the amount of shit he's achieved, he doesn't need to do any of it for anyone. So essentially for him, he's in the driver's seat to go, what do you want to do, mate?
Yeah, of course,
Fuck it, I want to box Ngannou. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying he's the baddest man on the planet. And obviously when Joe Rogan and Dana and all these other people, all these big names in MMA are talking about it, saying if this was a fight, like when he was on about John Jones, they were talking about John Jones finishing Tyson, if it was a fight, which he would. Because he'd take him down, and that's the difference of the in the environment. If it's boxing, Tyson would probably beat John Jones, but it's all probably and it's all up in the air. But yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it. I'm keen to watch it anyway because it's a fight. But at the same time, let us know what you think. And I mean, there's no real wrong answer. It's just who do you think is going to win? What do you think about it? Would you like to have seen it in the O2 as opposed to? Was it Saudi Arabia?
It's in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly where, but yeah.
It's one of them. See, get involved. Let us know what you think. I mean, I'll still watch it.
Yeah, same. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah. That's going to be interesting for October anyway. We've got a lot of good fights coming up. There's Nate Diaz and Jake Paul, obviously, in August. But do you want to talk a little bit about this weekend's fights?
We've got London, haven't we?
UFC London.
So
is back.
Right, where are we going? From top down or from bottom up? How long we got? We're at an hour.
Yeah, we're all right.
Okay. So did I see right that Tom Aspinall was speaking to Tabora in Polish?
Yeah, Aspinall's Polish.
Is
He's
it?
Got I know. Polish heritage. Yeah,
that's
I'm
amazing.
Sure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But it was wicked when they were stood there facing off and he was talking to him fluent Polish. Was that? I don't know why I don't know that, but it was impressive.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tom's Polish, of Polish heritage. I saw him face off in front of the O2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also saw Nathaniel Wood and Lorraine Murphy go bit back and forth in the lobby as well.
Well, I did this, you know, when you're on Instagram and you're watching a video.
As far as they didn't remake that fight, to be honest.
Me too. But I don't know if they're trying to do it off the, because they've already booked these, if they're trying to do it to then bring it back.
Big card, geez. 50. Oh, Shauna Bannon's making her debut as well. She was part of the IMAF team.
Yeah.
And Emma team, I think, fighting as amateur. Yeah, she's making her debut.
Chris Duncan's third on the card. Big fan of Chris Duncan. But Ashmuz looked good.
Who? Ashmuz.
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 Yeah, but a big fan of Chris Duncan when he fought last. Bob Rayner's low down on the card, but...
Yeah, I watched the mic talking away.
Maybe
have
I was.
To like kinda...
I have to crane like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Lerone Murphy and the Nathaniel Wood, I was interested in that. And I was on Instagram and I was listening to them have a bit of a, because I don't know if they squashed it or what, but I was halfway through trying to watch it and one of the kids shouted at me and I touched my phone and you know it does that refresh feed?
Yeah.
And it was some of the random shit that popped up instead and I was like, I didn't know if it was on Nathaniel Woods, I didn't know if it was on Lerone's, I didn't know if it was on UFC Europe.
I think it was like, on like BT, or TNT Sports. Yeah, have you seen that? They've changed that.
So it's not BT Sports anymore?
No, it's not BT, it's TNT now, I think.
As in, is TNT anything to do with BT?
Well, it's like
a subdivision.
I don't exactly know what's happened, but I imagine it is BT and Discovery or something else.
Okay.
And I think they're kind of, TNT is like the channel that BT is going to be through.
I haven't got it either way.
But yeah, TNT.
So what happened with Lerone and
well, no, I think obviously they were set to fight, weren't they? Back last UFC London?
Yeah. Or the one before. Early this year. They fell out. Like they were at each other, weren't they?
Well, I think obviously Nathaniel Wood pulled out because of an injury.
Yes.
And from what I know, I think he said something online, and Lerone, I don't know if he took too kindly to it. So I think it was about that. I don't know exactly what happened, but I am surprised that they didn't remake that fight, because I would like to see it.
Yeah.
So Lerone's fighting Josh Cullibau. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where's Nathaniel?
It's higher up.
Ooh.
Feely. Touchy Feely.
Oh, of course, yeah. Andre Feely. I mean, that's a good fight. Really good fight for Nathaniel, I think, because he's obviously, you know, he kind of wants to break into that like top
90.
Yeah, like, well, try and get ranked, you know, in that division. So
yeah,
and I think Andre Feely is a good name to kind of put him further up.
Yeah, Andre Feely can be a savage. I mean, I've seen him on his best days and his worst days, and he's pretty much a problem.
Yeah, we spent a bit of time out with him in Sacramento at Alpha Male.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
Nice dude, isn't
he? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, well, it'd be interesting, man. You just go to the top. So who are you taking for main?
Oh, should we go through the main card?
Let's go through the main card. Yeah. We've got...
The prelims are good. I mean, Ketlin Vera's on there, Chris Duncan.
Dick Casey.
Yeah.
Danny Roberts.
Joel Alvarez, Mark DeCasey will be a good fight.
Dude, this is an insane card. Jai Herbert, Lerone Murphy, Davy Grant, Danny Roberts, Mark DeCasey. What the fuck?
Yeah. Thing is...
how are the tickets looking?
There's a lot of... UK MMA is great at the minute. You know, especially after Leon's become champ.
Yeah.
So many good fighters that can be on a UFC London card.
Yeah, man. They've absolutely, because there's been times when they've done a UFC London card and it's like two British people. You think,
yeah, you got they can fill it top to bottom now.
Yeah, man,
no, Jai Herbert, Faris, Zayam, that would be wicked. Yeah, there's some sick fights on it. I think it's really good, like matchmaking, to be honest, because a lot of really good fights on it.
And it's going to be on a bit earlier, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on at 5 for us.
We can watch it on a Saturday. Yeah. Imagine that.
Watch out. Chill and have a couple of beers and not worry about setting your alarm for 3 a.m.
Exactly. Right, so go on then. So where are we picking from, dude? Where do you want to pick?
Shall I bring the Mac around here so we can look at it?
Well, I've got it here if you want.
Yeah. Just because I can't keep turning away from the mic.
So, all right. So we've got Aspinall, Tabiura. What are you going with? What's your concerns?
Well, I think, obviously Aspinall's coming off an injury, not fought for over a year, but I don't doubt his determination and his ability. So I just think Aspinall's going to get him out of there in the first round.
You think a first round
finish? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think...
Think he'll start fast?
Yeah.
I think that's the key against Tabiura, because he's one of them that you've seen lose a couple of times. And so when you see him the next time, you're like, this is the guy that loses.
He takes a while to kind of work his way into the fight. So yeah,
when he does win, it's fucking devastating. Mm. So I think, because wasn't Tom's last fight when he got his injury his first loss in the UFC?
Yeah.
And I think that relieves a lot of pressure. That takes a lot of pressure off and a lot of weight off people. Bisping spoke about it against Rashard. So many people have said it in the past where it's like this fucking thing that's hanging over you, that as much as you know it's important, it almost becomes everything.
And the thing is, he didn't really lose.
Precisely.
It's like, it was just fucking shit situation.
So what's the best way to lose your first fight? It's probably, as much as he had to rehab an injury, which is horrible. Like, he's still, it's not like he lost, but he's not now defending that undefeated sort of element. And like you say,
The thing is, he was fighting Curtis Blaydes in that last fight as well. And, you know, Curtis Blaydes at the time was pretty high up, was he number 4 or something? So it was kind of a pathway into that top.
Yeah, he was going to be shouting for a championship fight.
Fighting for a belt. And, you know, Tabor, think obviously with a win over Tabora, we'll get him kind of back up there.
And well, I heard Tom say that he feels he's got the skills to beat John Jones,
mm.
which I've heard a lot of people say over the years, but
I don't doubt him.
I like how fast he moves. I like Tom Aspinall's movement
yeah.
more than like when he fought Andre Orlovsky. I know Orlovsky's obviously a bit older, but he's still dangerous. Mm. It was just...
The thing is, Tom's sick on the ground as well. Like, I think he, like, as it just an overall MMA fighter, he's devastating.
Yeah.
And like you said, his speed as well.
But, so, right, so we're both taking Tom, yeah?
Yeah.
You're going first.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be spectacular first or second, or it's going to be a long
Yeah,
night
I think he's going to get him out there pretty quick.
Okay.
Personally, yeah.
So... We'll both go with Tom, regardless. Molly.
Okay. What is it?
So we've got Molly McCann versus Julia Stoylarenko.
Stoylarenko, yeah, okay. Molly's coming off a loss as well. I think she always like kind of thrives fighting in UFC London.
Yeah.
And yeah, I haven't seen much of Julia Stolarenko, but...
No, I've not. And I think, who was Molly's last loss, wasn't it?
Erin Blanchfield.
Yeah, who's yeah. dynamite.
Yeah, yeah, she's really good grappler. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's always a bit biased when we do these picks for UFC London.
Well, it's going to be Molly, isn't it? We're going to choose Molly.
Because we're probably just going to pick all of the British fighters. But yeah, hopefully Molly wins because obviously she lost that fight in MSG and that was kind of a fight that could have took her a lot of places,
yeah.
you know, further up in the division. So yeah, I think based off the interview I watched with her the other day,
she's ready.
Back in the game, yeah.
And I think it only, with someone like Molly, she only needs to be on the mic for 2 minutes yeah. to make herself relevant back in your world again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And she's like kind of, you know, especially after the last UFC London events and just like the kind of love she got from the crowd. And
I think it'd be massive. I think the pop yeah. she'll get is going to be fucking insane.
Yeah, so it's a good, exciting co-main event for her and hopefully she gets the win, yeah.
Okay, what are you saying, Nathaniel Wood and Andre Feely? I don't think it's an easy fight for Wood.
No.
No. I think someone like Andre Feely is... season to the point where he's been counted out enough times that he doesn't need to justify it to anyone, but he just always kind of brings that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been caught and he's been caught early in the past and we've seen that. And I think Nathaniel Woods is such a professional, consistent striker
yeah.
that someone like Feely will watch a lot of footage on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nathaniel Woods, since he's moved up to featherweight, I think he's got 2 wins in featherweight now. And his last fight against Charles Rosa, I think he looked really good. And Andre Feely is like a good name in that division to kind of like,
yeah,
kind of make your progression a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah.
He's a good name to fight. So, yeah, I'd like to back Nathaniel, of course.
All day, yeah.
Like, definitely. But as I said, he's looked really impressive since he's moved up to the featherweight and he's fought some good people as well, so...
I think that might be fight of the night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man, there's so many that could be.
Yeah. Mate, it's just from these three, don't get me wrong, I think if Aspinall can start fast, it can get him out there pretty quick.
Yeah.
It might be a short night. I think Molly, it might end up being a bit of a grapple fest,
mm-hmm.
but I think she's got a spinning back elbow
yeah.
in the chamber. But from these three so far, I think Wood and Feely could be an absolute...
Mm-hmm.
Just range fight, just proper banger. So I'll back Nathaniel Wood anyway because that's naturally what we're going to do, obviously.
Yeah.
But big fan of Feely. Same as Paul Craig, massive fan of the Berdew.
Yeah, he's fighting a middleweight as well this time, isn't he?
What?
I think he's gone down to middleweight.
Fuck off, he has.
Where is it?
Here. Yeah. Paul Craig's gone to middleweight.
That's a fucking sick fight, to be fair. Forgot that one was on it.
Yeah, but middleweight.
Yeah.
He's not a small light heavyweight.
No, I've seen him. He's really tall. But yeah, I don't know what's... Because the thing is, before he was meant to fight Gustafsson, he was on about like retiring and stuff and like okay. maybe kind of calling it a day. I mean, I don't know if he's had...
He's done a bit of grappling and stuff, yeah, right, we've seen.
Oh, yeah, he's like, he's great. Great grappler, yeah. That's why I think this is such a good matchup, because Andre Muniz is also like really good grappler. And so it might be a little bit of a jiu-jitsu match, to be fair, this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Paul's, you know, I saw an interview that he did with BT the other day, and he was saying that, you know, he wants to kind of make a run in this division and stuff. Yeah, so hopefully he can, you know, work his way up and get into that division.
The thing is, it's his length that's always been a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah,
he's just such a long. Yeah.
In his last fight, he struggled to get going a bit. I can't remember who he fought.
There's a lot of pressure, wasn't it? Johnny Walker.
Krylov. Was it Krylov?
It's Johnny Walker, wasn't it?
Was it? It was Johnny Walker. Yeah. He fought. He lost against Jed Hugh, and Jed Hugh's hilarious. A really good grappler.
Yeah. So he lost to Oz.
Yeah, sorry. Uzdemir. That was the fight I watched, not Krylov, because he beat Krylov.
But that was a unanimous decision.
Uzdemir, yeah. He struggled to get going in that fight. And then obviously he lost to Johnny
Walker.
Quite quick
against Johnny Walker, wasn't it? 2.5 minutes. Yeah, round one.
Quite
right across to hammer fist.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's felt like maybe he's undersized or something in light heavyweight, or
he's got a better
chance just with his like physical attributes. I mean, he's 6'3". That's, yeah.
Decent reach.
I mean, Izzy's 6'4".
Yeah.
So like, you know, if he feels like he could definitely, I think he'd be all right at middleweight.
Yeah, interesting to see now. I didn't realize that was going to be a middleweight bout, so that's going to be good. And then Jai Herbert.
Yeah, looking forward to see Jai again.
Always enjoy watching
Jai.
Yeah.
And
opening the card. Mate, it's just literally Lerone Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Davey Grant. Yeah. Danny Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the matchmaking's been really good on this one. There's some wicked fights. I mean, lower down on the prelims, Mark DeCasey and Joel Alvarez. Danny Roberts is fighting Brian Barberena and Muradov. That would be a sick fight.
Yeah. Barberena just marches forward, doesn't he?
Yeah. They've filled this card up really well. Like the prelims. Early prelims, main card's great. I think it'll be a really good event.
Yeah, so what time's that start? 5?
I think so. I've not checked the... Don't go off this for time.
Just blame Jamie if you've missed 3 fights.
But usually it starts... I think the early prelims start around 5 or 6, and then probably the main card will be about 9 o'clock.
I'll tell you what I've got frustrated with recently as far as watching events. If you watch it on the BT Sports app... They used to, like, there wasn't a preview to where you're skipping it to. You just, like, you could choose a fight. So it would come up and it would let you know what fight to start watching.
Yeah, BT Sport do that.
That's like what I mean, the BT Sport app.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fight Pass doesn't do that.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's just a three-hour bar.
Yeah.
And you know when you're running your finger along and, like, there's just a little square that pops up and, like, you've got someone with their arm raised or something. Be better, man. Make it like yeah. If it's not like BT Sports haven't already made it that you're partnered with, just use that player.
Yeah,
it's fucking way better.
Yeah.
Like, I had an issue with BT back in the day because they used to put all the results on the homepage. So you'd have to go to the BT Sports app to the homepage, it would tell you'd won, then to find the event. Oh, bullshit. So they stopped doing that. Well done, BT. But their player is fucking way better.
Yeah.
Whereas someone gave me, I can't remember, I think it was 290 because I couldn't get hold of it. And literally there was like, on the thumbnail where I was watching it from, there was a result of one of the fights.
Yeah.
In the fucking thumbnail.
For as big as UFC are as a company, they need to sort out Fight Pass and their website. Majorly.
Dog shit. Yeah. And like, I don't know how many people are involved in it. I know that a lot of people got shuffled about and moved and changed. But it's like the consistency of pictures and the consistency of result and all sorts of other shit.
Yeah, it's just information on there isn't always accurate as well.
No.
Like the...
stats.
Yeah, not so much with the what's it called? Like fight time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, UFCs. But like the height and people and their wins and losses as well.
Mate, the amount of times, well, we've both done the picks graphics and it'll say, let's just say for argument's sake, 1-5, 5 knockout, 5 submission, 10 decision.
Mm.
And it'll say 21-3-0. And you'll go, I could do maths. Yeah. 5-5-10, that's 20. How the fuck is he 21? Or it could be 19.
Yeah.
So then instead of just being able to put that information in, you're like backwards engineering this whole thing. Like, and then 2 or 3 websites that would have copied UFC, 2 or 3 would have had their own stats. Someone else is just trying to sell you a fucking timeshare. And you're like, all I want to know is what fucking like Adesanya's last fight was. I don't know how it's consistently so inconsistent.
It's, you know, when you want to look at like Muay Thai fighters, especially. Yeah. Their records are like all over the place. Yeah, like,
they could have had 3 fights.
Like their
week.
Recorded record is something like 430, like 10 losses or something.
Mate, yeah.
Like Rod Tang, I think is if you include every fight since he's had going like pro, I don't know, something like over 200 and something fights,
which is insane.
And or maybe 300, I'm not sure. But then when you actually look at like his one championship record, where it's something like, I don't know, 70 and 8 or something like that. Well, but
the thing is, it's like when I do the top thumps, I use their like win history. It's normally it's predominantly their UFC run just because it's easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like when you're putting it in, and I can't remember, it was like Volk, when I did Volk as a top thump, his win streak would have been at featherweight, something like 15. Mm. But because he went up, lost one, and came back, I had to put it at 0, and it kind of felt like I was cheating him a little bit. Not that I'm ever going to meet him and like, I apologize. Like,
oh, yeah,
he's like, and the problem was, I know that if I'd have put a fight win streak at featherweight at this, but then it's not that, someone would have gone, oh, I think you're fine. You never did that last week for Josh Emmett, because he actually went up and he had it. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
I
beat myself up about it too much beforehand.
I think it's important to include like every kind of, you know, just as a fighter profile, like if you've been fighting kickboxing before, like include that record somewhere.
Or the Ultimate Fighter fights.
Yeah.
I know they're only 2 rounds, but they're still fights on the same stage.
It's like, you know, Rozenstruik, like he's, I don't know, something like 12 and, I don't know his record, but like 12 and 5. In MMA, but then he's had like 76 kickboxing fights and he's only lost like 2 or whatever.
Just put it as another tab.
Yeah.
Just a little tab. Yeah. Or even if you don't name everyone, just say he's had 76.
It gives
fights.
You a bit more of an idea of what the fighters like as well.
And their if style. Got,
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, especially kickboxing. Like, because if it's Cron Gracie and he's fucking snapped 1,000 people's arms.
Yeah.
But then he's only had half a dozen like MMA events.
I guess it's because it is more like, you know, MMA. When you watch UFC, you're watching MMA. So
yeah,
but
I just think I think it all fits in. It's like even like with Ngannou, when he's got his boxing record, when Conor fought Mayweather, he's got his box. Do you know what I mean? It's all kind of the same journey.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say, this time's Ultimate Fighter has probably been one of the most horrendous things to try and watch. And not because of the fighters, not because of the coaches, none of that. It's the endless people reporting the fucking result.
Mm.
Because Conor went, have you watched much of it?
Not really. I watched the first couple of episodes, but I just haven't caught up with it recently.
So
I know, I'm aware that Conor's lost like every fight up until...
This is it, right? Now, I don't want to know that shit. And it's not like I'm trying to watch it 6 months after it's aired. I'm wanting to watch it the next fucking day. And like a surprise, before you know it, I'm sat for my morning piss, because I'm old now. So you have a sit-down piss as a treat. And I'm sat there, and the first thing, it could be fucking the most obscure MMA thing, and it's like, Conor's still losing. And you think, I'm not going to fucking watch it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Now, that's wank. Mm. Like, don't give the fucking result. Like, UFC were known for not ever giving any results away, not showing any, like, highlight reel knockouts, none of it. And now it just seems that they go, well, the Ultimate Fight was on. Let's put the fucking fight result on. Like, you're only watching it for the result.
Mm.
There's a bit of pantomime in there you might want to catch up on or whatever. But at the same time, it's the fucking fight. It's only 2 fucking rounds long. And you've shown me that he's lost again.
Yeah.
So when Conor's giving him a pep talk and really getting fucking intense, like someone that's like just done a whole fucking bag of yolks, and just literally turn around and go, yeah, we're going to do this, going to do that. You're not though, are you? Because I already know the result. And I already know that he's going to fucking lose. And you're going to have a bit of a tiz and kick off and say that you want 3-round fights.
Yeah.
I already know that it because does, I've seen the fucking 15-second promo.
Yeah. It does certainly take the edge off it when you do that because you already know what's going to happen.
I'm just not watching it.
Yeah, like the arguments. I understand that they've got to build adverts and like...
All about that.
...promos from it. But yeah, especially the result because I saw it today and it was like kind of finally wins.
I didn't know
or
that.
Or whatever. Did you not?
I didn't know that. Has he won one? Yeah. Motherfucker. See?
But they posted it on...
Well, I've ignored the fuckers. I've been... As
oh,
soon as
shit.
I see...
Sorry, mate.
Mate, I'm already done with it because I wanted to watch... I wanted to watch it and I wanted to really enjoy it.
Mm.
But like even him shoving him in the face and getting all fuck... no problem. Show it all.
Yeah.
But don't tell me the fucking results. Like, you've got to sometimes... Lingerie is there for a reason, right? And it's all about the fucking chase. Sometimes you want to see full away kit. Sometimes you want to see a bit of lingerie. You don't need to just be like, I'm fucking Starkers, baby. This is what you're going to get. Sometimes you need a bit of that chase. You just need to see a little bit of lace. You need to see a little bit of nice bits that gets you intrigued rather than just,
yeah.
Don't need it. Just show me the good bits first, mm-hmm. like tease.
Giving you the whole picture.
Yeah. Instead of just like, there's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Take a page out of fucking anyone who's promoting any sort of anything where they're trying to get you interested in it. They're not showing you the full thing. Like, it's not like you know what's going to happen in Indiana Jones or in fucking any of these films because they give you a teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking idiots. Stop it.
Yeah.
Then that's my gripe. But you've obviously now told me that Connor's won one.
That's what I mean.
I
don't feel like I need to watch it.
That's
do you know
the
what I
problem.
Mean? Because I've had so much so much like recap and like results. And I already know what's happened.
Well,
the
you
only
know that
thing
he's
I'm
at
missing,
5-1 or whatever the fucking, whatever it is.
But even the bits, the thing is, that's the, like as much as the long format stuff that's on, you know, when you watch the whole episode, it's 20 minutes long. I mean, really, like the highlights, if they put that as like a reel on Instagram,
yeah,
you've only got to have the filling bits and they're not really that entertaining. So you miss all the entertainment, really. Well, it's because it's reels and, you know, TikTok videos now. And
I think like the Ultimate Fighter's back.
They know they're not going to, a lot of people aren't going to watch the main thing. So they'll release it in these tiny segments.
So, but surely they make more from people tuning in to getting ratings from the actual show rather than from likes on Facebook. Or views on Reels. But I don't know. But they're also rich to the point where they don't need to give a fuck. Because they seem to have done the same with... It's not that I watch Slapface, whatever it's called. But like...
Slapface.
All the results are on immediately.
Yeah.
Why would you sit through an hour of watching Forrest Griffin looking uncomfortable as fuck?
It's a viral sport, isn't it? It's just like, it's literally all over Instagram.
Yeah, but I still...
Because that's how people take their... content nowadays, really.
Yeah,
60
I suppose.
Clips.
I suppose we start watching a football match and getting to the gates and them going,
yeah,
we know this
I don't
week.
Agree with
see
it.
You fucking later. You go.
I don't like
amazing.
It.
Amazing. How did it look? All right, we won. Winner. Yeah, I don't know. It just, and it's every single MMA outlet because I suppose once one's done it,
yeah,
they all want the clicks, which I get. I completely get, but I just wish no one would do it because I don't like fucking results. It's just, I don't see the point in then investing all your time.
Yeah.
Like I know you sit and look at a result before you watch a fight, but I couldn't then sit and think, I've got 3 hours to watch all this and I know exactly what's going to happen. I'd just lose interest. I wouldn't. Mm. I'd find myself playing a game or looking on Instagram or some shit. Other fucking
that's
results that I didn't want to know. Yeah, this is it.
Sit there doom scrolling for the whole thing.
Whereas I'm literally, it's Sunday, everyone else, because I watch it late so that no one else interrupts me.
Yeah.
And then I sit and I'm just completely engrossed.
I think if obviously I watch like this weekend, I'm going to watch UFC London live. If it was live, I'd watch it all the time. But I think because it's already happened, I'm just like, just quickly check. And then pretend. If I know that it's going to be a good fight, I'll you know, go back and watch them.
Yeah.
And of course, like big events, pay-per-view events, I'll always watch back. But the fight night ones, I don't always.
I think for me, because... I kind of don't care who it is. It could be Izzy or it could be a no-name that's literally making their debut and a brand new person I've never met. And I want to give it the same because some people, they'll get in touch with me and they'll be like, oh, it's a shit card this weekend. And I'm like, why is it? Why is it a shit card? Mm. And they're like, oh, the main's this or there's this and that. And I'm like, they're all fight. There's fucking it's all fights. Yeah. Just engage in the fight because this could be like the most spectacular knockout you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that it's on an undercard or a prelim or whatever it is. For me, I just want to, like, these guys have trained all this time. I want to see every bit of it and I want to see it without knowing the result. So I suppose I think it's just different for different people. But for me, I want to know, all I'm doing is, this is all I can see. I'm just completely engaged in this. So yeah, I'm probably a bit of a fucking weirdo when it comes, well, I know I'm a weirdo, but I'm a weirdo when it comes to that sort of stuff. So it's more a case of stop doing it on The Ultimate Fighter. I want to watch a bit of it without knowing what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
keep the lingerie on for a little bit longer. Just to
tease you.
Tease me a little bit, man. Not the dudes in lingerie. Well, they can if they want. It might make it interesting. But yeah, just tease it.
I'm sure that probably goes on somewhere in the world. Lingerie MMA.
Are you saying that you don't know it goes on? You're not subscribed. I'm sure that may go somewhere. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all had a look, Jamie.
Yeah, I've been on Mysteries History before.
Oh, you can't throw Mystery under the bus like that. He'll not be watching this anyway, will he? Let's be honest. Fucking hell. Right, so yeah, so good luck to everyone on the UFC London card. I can't imagine any of you are watching this, but let us know what your thoughts are for people that are. Who do you think is going to win and how? We want to know performance of the night, fight of the night, everything. Just what you think is coming up. And obviously get involved in the Ngannou and Tyson discussion. And also, if you think that the Ultimate Fight is maybe too overpromoted.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, I hope everyone enjoys UFC London this weekend. It'll be pretty sick.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But other than that, take it easy and we will see you soon for episode 17. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. I haven't come anywhere. Thanks for joining in.
Oh, new ending to the
show.
You
don't need to edit that. It's either, do you? You can just make me look a twat.
Being edited.
Beautiful. Take it. I'm going to fist bump you with this hand, not this one, because my fucking wrist still hurts. Take it easy.
Sound in a bit, man.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.